Moncrief on News Talk.
This week marks the centenary of the establishment of the Border Commission, the body tasked with tracing the line of the border between Northern Ireland and the then Free State. The Irish Times journalist Ronan McGreevy has been writing about this in The Times. Afternoon, Ronan.
More afternoon, Sean.
Whenever I think of the Border Commission, I always think of the Spike Milligan book, Puckoon, where it was like halfway through a village and they had to move bodies from one part of the cemetery to the other. It wasn't as common. It was probably more tragic than comical.
It was.
Really.
So the Boundary Commission was set up under the terms of the Anglo-Irish Treaty, which established the Free State in 1921. Article 12 of the boundary of the treaty stated that there would be a Boundary Commission involving a chair, one person from the north, one person from the Free State, and they would decide where the border would be between the Free State and Northern Ireland, taking into account the wishes of the inhabitants. So that was Article 12 of the Anglo-Irish Treaty. It was regarded in many ways as a fait accompli that the border, as it was, wouldn't stay in place, that it was, to quote Albert Reynolds, a temporary little arrangement, and that the commission would find in favour of ceding the majority Catholic counties of Fermanagh and Tyrone, plus Derry City, plus South Armagh, to the Free State, and that just leaving the north, therefore, a rump, really.
Yeah. Now, the Free State's representative on this, Owen McNeill.
Yeah.
Tell us about him.
Well, he's very famous in Irish history for a number of different things. I mean, he established the Irish Volunteers in 1913, which eventually became the IRA. He's famous for having countermanded the Eastern Rising Order in 1916, in which case a lot of men did not turn up at the time. But in this case, he was a Free State minister. His son had actually been killed in the Civil War on the Republican side, but he was the Minister for Education in the Free State, one of seven ministers. He was also from the north, originally from County Antrim. So the government, W.T. Cosgrave, the president of the Executive Council, effectively the Taoiseach, appointed him as the representative of the Free State in relation to the Boundary Commission.
Yeah, was he the man for the job, though?
Well, according to himself, he wasn't. He said basically that they needed somebody who was more politically minded than he was. He made error after error. He was naive, to be honest with you. The Irish side were quite naive. The British side, the Northern side, J.R. Fisher, who was the Northern representative, even though he wasn't appointed by the Northern government, was leaking constantly to Edward Carson and James Craig what was going on with the commission, even though he had an oath of confidentiality. McNeill kept his cabinet colleagues completely in the dark about what was going on.
Yeah. Now, and the process was held up a bit by the Civil War.
Yeah, the Civil War, and then there was a change of government, and there was a minority Labour government for about 11 months in the UK as well. So there had been an election just before that. The Tories were back in power in 1924. So Stanley Baldwin was the Prime Minister. The Irish state, the Free State, was getting back on its feet after the Civil War. And so there had been numerous delays. So it started in November this week in London, 1924, and it finished with a very damaging leak on the 7th of December 1925.
Yeah. Now, was the process that they would have had applications from both sides of the border saying move us to the other part?
Yeah, that's it. Well, I mean, there's hundreds of applications. They're all in the archives now, from both sides, from nationalist communities in Down and along the border, seeking to become part of the Free State. I mean, there was a lot of communities along the border that were, solidly nationalist. But also, if you look at the maps, and they were going down to the poor law maps and local authority areas and stuff like that, it's a patchwork. Even though Fermanagh and Tyrone are majority nationalist areas, there are large parts along the border which would have a very strong Protestant population. So it was a very difficult process which they went through. Eventually, the commission decided on a very few changes to the border. South Armagh and Cross MacLean would have gone to the Free State, which could have saved the British a lot of bother during the Troubles. There were parts of Fermanagh and Derry, which went to the Free State as well. But the biggest shock of all was that the commission had recommended that parts of East Donegal would go to the north, because there had actually been petitioning on the part of Protestants in Donegal to become part of the north. And the Free State had never envisaged this. They thought this commission is being set up simply to determine which parts of the north should be part of the Free State, not the other way around. So the whole thing was a disaster.
Yeah, really. And the criteria they were using in terms of deciding what goes where, what were those criteria?
Well, they said according to, there's a subclause in Article 12 which states basically subject to economic and geographical conditions on the ground being correct. And this was a sort of weaselly kind of subclause that was put in Article 12. It was never tested until the actual commission set up, and the chairman Feetham would have interpreted this as meaning, like, we're not going to give Derry over to the Free State because it's the second biggest city in the north. It wouldn't be economically viable. We're not going to give parts of South Down to the Free State because that's where the water supply for Belfast comes from, and so on and so forth. So once it started, there was never any agreed principles as to what exactly was meant by Article 12, and therefore Feetham, he interpreted it according to his own lights and turned over very little.
Yeah, the expectation from the south of the border was they'd get so much of the north back, it'd be this tiny little rump, eventually
that was the thinking at the time when Article 12 was signed by Griffith and Michael Collins, and it was very important thing in persuading people, you remember the treaty debates, it was very important in persuading the people who were pro-treaty to vote for it, because basically Collins and Griffith were saying, look, we'll get these counties back, and once that happens, the north is not going to exist with 2.5 counties. It's not going to happen. And this was a naive expectation, but once Northern Ireland was established, James Craig said, what we have, we hold, not an inch, and, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law. So there was never any meeting of minds as to exactly how the Boundary Commission should go about its business. And Feetham, in the end, interpreted in the most narrow way he could possibly get away with.
Yeah. And so did anything change from the work of the Boundary Commission?
Well, what happened was that on the 7th of December 1925, there was a leak in the Morning Post newspaper, which is sort of the equivalent of the Daily Telegraph, very sort of imperial right-wing newspaper. And this was like a draft of what had been agreed, and there was these tiny changes. And this came as a bolt out of the blue to the Free State government, W.T. Cosgrave, because, as I said, McNeill had taken his oath of confidentiality literally to the letter. They had no idea that this was happening. And McNeill resigned, and he gave this valedictory speech saying, look, I'm sorry, I wasn't the right person for the job, but, you know, did him, so whatever. So this was a huge controversy for the Free State. So the Free State wanted to shut down the controversy. So basically, they went over to London, right? They agreed with the British government that in exchange for the British government writing off the share of the national debt that they had inherited under the treaty, that the border would remain in place. And that's what happened. Basically, they sold out the border I think it was about £25 million that they got, which was a lot of money at the time. And then that was the end of it. And the actual deliberations of the Boundary Commission were never released until 1969.
Oh. The political ramifications of that in the Free State must have been enormous, in the sense of, you know, we've been sold a pup.
Well, you know what? At that stage, right, I mean, we're talking about after the Civil War, the country is completely divided. The Free State government is hanging on by its fingernails. It has a very limited sort of hold on the population, so to speak. And what essentially happened after that, that was the end of it. And, you know, we know what happened, say, 44 years later when the Troubles breaks out. You know that all of this was basically parked until the Troubles break out. And you can imagine if Derry, where the Troubles basically started, and South Armagh and Fermanagh and Tyrone were not part of were part of the Free State, not part of the North, would we have troubles? It's all hypothetical, but it was definitely a lost opportunity.
Yeah. Gosh, it is tragic. Ronan, thanks a million for coming in to tell us about that. That was Irish Times journalist there, Ronan McGreevy. Also the author of The Kidnapping, A Hostage, A Desperate Manhunt and A Bloody Rescue That Shocked Ireland.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.